Let's get down to something positive. I'd like for us this morning to examine a very interesting subject, and one of the most important subjects that we examine in Scripture. It's righteousness. If you took it as a topic and you decided to go through the Scriptures, and we're going to focus on the subject of righteousness, you'd find out there's a lot in Scripture said about righteousness. So let's start by reading Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. This will kind of put the subject of righteousness into the context of how important it is to be sure that you understand what righteousness is all about and you understand your own position relative to righteousness. Verse 20 of Matthew 5 says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, that should establish for anyone with a fair thinking mind about the subject of righteousness, this matter of righteousness is very, very important. It's not a frivolous thing. It's not an option. The Lord Jesus says, without it, without this righteousness. And we're not talking about self-righteousness, because he has condemned self-righteousness. He's talking about righteousness that's pure and holy, the kind of righteousness that God is well pleased with. Having said that, and singled out some people that he's already identified as not being righteous, their righteousness is limited to self-righteousness. Someone going about to establish his own righteousness. Now, if anybody was ever a fool in the light of what Scripture has to say about the matter of righteousness, it would be someone that says, "I will establish my own righteousness. I'll establish what I consider to be a position that is righteous and acceptable with God. I will make my own decision about that." Well, if you do, you won't like the results, I can tell you that. The Lord Jesus has already excluded you from that place called heaven. So turn to Luke chapter 17, no, 18, and we're going to take a look at another aspect of it. Verse 9 of Luke 18 says, "He spoke this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." You know, self-righteous people do have a way of feeling superior to other people. They put themselves in a category of being a cut above, and they look down on other people that do not measure up to their standard of righteousness. One of the things that I wrote at the bottom of this If your religion is the only thing you have to offer to God, you're not ready to meet God. And you don't you ever forget that. The only righteousness that you have is the righteousness of the Pharisees. Self-righteousness. You're not ready to meet God. This passage goes on. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as the tax collector. Even single the fellow out. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen to these words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Pretty heavy words, aren't they? People making their own judgment call about righteousness. And it's going to cause me to turn to a passage of Scripture and read with you. Passage of Scripture that was very important to me as far as my own conversion experience was concerned. And it's found in Romans chapter 9. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, I'm going to skip that passage. I'm going to 10. It says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end. Christ is the end of the line of the law as far as being established as having any value for that person that wants to go to heaven. The law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, a lot more is said about the subject of righteousness in this 10th chapter, carrying you down to that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And let me go on. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can go further into the epistles. One of the passages that is often quoted, one that is so important, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we read that indeed the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the one that knew no sin, was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It seems like there's no question about it. Any thinking person, any fair-thinking person, will certainly believe that the only way you can get this righteousness of God, and we're not talking about self-righteousness. We're talking about the righteousness that God looks upon with great favor. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is the one that indeed is able to communicate with God by virtue of He being God and He taking the place, serving the purpose for which God sent Him into the world, the one that was sinless. He's made sin. He's made that offering for sin. And God looks down upon that offering and He's well pleased with what He sees. Remember, the law, Christ is the end of the law. Moses, the tabernacle, the temple, all of these things with the animal sacrifices, passé. It no longer has any value as far as God is concerned in attaining righteousness. I think time can be well spent sometime. We talk about meditation upon the Word of God. Meditating upon Scripture. You can get a wonderful feeling if you like feelings. I like feelings. You can get a wonderful feeling by meditating upon the fact that I am righteous and fit for the presence of God. I like that. I couldn't say that for a long time. For 30 years, I couldn't say that. But I have learned over the years that there is one way, without boasting, bragging, or anything, without going out on a limb, I can say, I know that I am righteous and fit for the presence of God. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is right, and He's fit for the presence of God. And I am accepted in Him, and what He has done, the value of everything that He accomplished on Calvary's cross, it counts for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And I live in Him. And by faith, I reach out and walk day by day as a new creature in Christ Jesus. Don't that make you feel good? If you can say that, if you can say, I'm accepted in the Beloved, the righteousness of God has been put to my account. I didn't work for it. I do not deserve it. No merit of my own has caused God to put this righteousness of God to my account. He gave it to me as a free gift. Here it is. You can have it simply by saying, Lord, as a poor sinner, that's what I need. I need it. I appreciate You offering this to me, and I accept it. I accept it. I accept it in the Beloved. You know, the Lord thinks so highly of what the Lord Jesus has done that He says that He's given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. God sees to it that proper recognition will be given to the person of His Son. You say, all these people on the face of the earth that will spurn the grace of God and say, I will not have this Jesus to rule over me. You mean to tell me they're going to bow the knee? Yes. I believe the Word of God, and I believe that this highly exalted one, the Lord Jesus Christ, that died under the penalty of the sin of the whole world. Yes, I do believe the value of what He did is so great. The righteousness of God can be put to the account of a poor sinner. Undeserving, couldn't work for it. The Pharisees and the scribes, all of these still trying to work their way to heaven, do something to please God, and there's only one thing that God will accept, and that is the value of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and me. Righteousness becomes a very important part of what we learn in Scripture and how to get it and what it means to God. I've had some experiences in life with members of my own family that were religious people, more religious than I was. I was not a religious person. I didn't put any value, really, on religion. I thought it was all right to, at a proper time, to say a prayer or whatever. But really, religion, to me, was something that I really didn't have any time for 30 years. And the religion of the Jews, of course, I learned later, was the only religion that God ever accepted, the religion of the Jews. Installing a system, a way, in which people could approach to God. It was through sacrifice. That's established in the Scriptures. But then there comes a time when that is put aside. Scripture that I read, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake. God installed something else that was better, more perfect. God died upon the cross for our sin. That was God on the cross, in case you don't know. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. God became a man and dwelt among us. And man's response was, we will not have this man to rule over us. We don't like him. We don't like him. He's an intrusion into a way of life. He disrupts our religious system, makes it look like it doesn't have any value. It served its purpose. Christ is the end of the law. Something better has been presented. You could never be counted as being perfectly righteous under the law. Little wonder that the Pharisees set out to establish their own righteousness by what they did. We're going to read in just a moment some things. And sad to say, as I began to think about that, people are still doing it. People are still doing it. I had a contact with a person a few weeks back. This is kind of ridiculous, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I was witness to this person about the Lord Jesus, what it meant to know that your sins were forgiven and you're going to heaven. And she said, but there's one thing I can't do. I can't forgive. Well, I happen to have a tract in my pocket, and it's one in the rack here. Forgiveness. What is it? Forgiveness. I said, well, I just happen to have a little paper here. I'd like for you to read it about forgiveness. She said, no, I could never forgive my sister for what she did to me. I said, well, don't you want to go to heaven? I didn't say I didn't want to go to heaven. And I'll take care of that. I have a friend that is a priest. What's that priest got to do with you being saved? He can't save you. This is something that's very personal. You must accept God's way and God's Savior for you to ever be saved and go to heaven. Well, I don't see it that way. You know, people are going through life and they don't see it that way. You witness to them as a believer and you tell them, look, I found the way. I found the way. It was there all the time. And God opened my eyes and behold, here is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come unto the Father but by me. God is in the soul-saving business. We read this morning that it is not God's will that any should perish. God does not want to send poor sinners to hell. The lake of fire and all of that horrible experience of being separated from God forever, it was designed for Satan, the devil, and his fallen angels, not for mankind. Man has made a choice. Man says, well, I'd never choose to go to heaven. Well, that's what you're turning an offer down. Why not? Well, I don't think I'd be comfortable there. I believe all my friends have gone to hell, and I'm going with them. You will? Well, I tell you what. People have said some foolish things, but that one rates pretty high. I'll go to hell where all my friends are. They're there. I never have liked being with those religious people that are always talking about being born again. And I have a Savior that loved me and died for me. Singing hymns and all the other things that accompany the life that we now live as believers in the Lord Jesus. I'll tell you what. Those that don't want it, you haven't got anything to worry about. You've got anything to worry about. You won't get there. What did he say to the Pharisees? You're not going to heaven based on self-righteousness. And this is what I wrote down. This is what identifies clearly exactly where a person that's going about to establish his own righteousness, this tells you what they base it upon. We read some of it. You have to agree that the text that we've read implies that perhaps there are degrees of righteousness. There are degrees of righteousness. There's self-righteousness, and there's the righteousness of God. No question about that. There are degrees of difference between the two. God established it. I didn't. You didn't. This righteousness is acceptable with God. It's the righteousness that God has given to us. The Pharisees had self-righteousness. Now, here are just some of the things that I'm going to read. He said they fasted twice a week. Some of you could do well to fast more than twice a week. I fast. I love fasting. You'd be surprised what it does for you. It sharpens up your senses. You know, when you get old, your senses get a little bit dull. But go without food. You say, I'll get hungry. I'll get faint. Oh, no, you won't. You try it. You fast. you will discover something you do say, I wish I'd have been doing this all my life. Go without food. You have to drink something. And you can take a little tea or whatever you choose. But about the second day, you will forget about food. If you're normal. If you're not normal, you'll go wacko. And say, give me a hot dog. Give me a hamburger. But if you're serious and you mean business, you will discover that there's a real value in fasting. But I can't think of anything much more ridiculous than somebody saying, I'm going to be righteous because I fast. Oh, you do. What do you base that upon? Well, fasting is taught in Scripture. Yes, it is. But not to get righteousness. It's just to make you a healthier person. It's just to make you someone that has just a little bit more in your life to in the resisting of things that are not good for you. That's all it does. It doesn't save your soul. But here the Pharisees, they fasted twice a week. And he counted that as sufficient to give him perfect righteousness. If you can accept that. They gave tithes. They were tithers. Well, it was one thing about their tithing. They wanted everybody to know that they were tithing. Watch out for the man. I'm fixing to make an offering. Somebody ring a bell or do something to get the people's attention. Because, look, I'm putting them a look. See, what is this? $100 bill. I'm putting this in the collection plate. The Pharisees had to have people watching. Blow the horn. Ring the bell. They put a whole handful of coins into the offering. One day a poor widow came along and she put her 2 pennies in there and he said, I'll tell you something. That poor widow put in more than all of them put together. If anybody thinks he can buy his way to heaven by what he gives and making a show of it, he's dumb. He's dumb. That's all I can say. Just dumb. Some people say, I attend church every Sunday. Oh, you do. Good for you. Hallelujah. A friend of mine used to say before he got saved, he went just about every Sunday. And every time they had a revival, when I asked him, are you saved? He said, I've been saved 8 times already. And every time they have an altar call, I go to the front. I get saved again. Never sure of it. Never. Never. I can't be sure that I've done enough. What do you think about what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did upon the cross? Is that enough? He said, it's finished. It's a finished work. I've done all that God required be done. I've offered one sacrifice for sin. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, there was some evidence from heaven that God approved of that. Earthquakes. The veil in the temple rent from the top to the bottom. A lot of things happened as evidence. Greatest of all that I can think of, he arose from the grave. He's a resurrected, glorified Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you think about church activity and you think about all these things, there were other things that they did. And there's one thing that didn't seem to take place no matter what they did. They never had a change of heart about what they were doing. You'll have to hand it to them. I think that there was sincerity. You can be sincere, but sincerely wrong. So rather than begin to belittle and put these Pharisees down and say bad things about them and criticize them, he was sincere. Do you think the Apostle Paul was sincere? I do. I believe Saul of Tarsus was a sincere man. And before he met the Lord Jesus Christ, this man that loved the religion of the Jews, if you were a Christian and you were spouting off about, "I have received the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I've been born again, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, the righteousness of God has been put to my account," you were going around, you were just telling it everywhere. You better not tell it to him. He'd cut your ears off. That's what religion did for him. And then he met the Lord Jesus. He was sincere in what he was doing. Many people today that are doing everything you can think of to be right with God, they are sincere in many cases. But they're sincerely wrong. There's only one way to God. There's only one way that satisfies God. There's only one way to receive this righteousness. You know, this righteous being justified by faith and having the righteousness of God put to you, you know what that means? It means just as if I'd never sinned. And I tell you, I like that. I like that. It's just as if I had never sinned. And I ain't going to tell you about all my sins, but I tell you, I was a bad boy. And you'll never find it out, because I ain't going to tell you. And my God doesn't squeal on those that have trusted His Son as their Savior. I'm just as righteous as the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, if I appeared in heaven, in the throne room at this time, in the presence of God, I would be accepted. In Christ. There ain't no other way to be there. That's the only way you get this righteousness put to your account. You never get it any other way. You never get it any other way. Work for it, Pharisees, sincere, all of the other things that go with it, don't mean a thing. Don't mean a thing. You're just digging the hole deeper. And one day, like a man that we've read about in Scripture, he opened his eyes, being in torment. And God knows I didn't want that to happen to me. And I trust there's not a person in this room this morning that wants to wake up sometime. Maybe you die suddenly. Maybe you leave this world, and the first thing you recognize, I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented. What that old guy said was true. It was the truth, because it was the Word of God. And it said the righteousness that you go about establishing your way, in your way, and in your way, you'll never end up in heaven. You'll never satisfy God. You have to do it His way. It's so decisive. I like salvation because it's real. It is real. And you develop a relationship with the God that loved you and died for you, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's real. You ask me how I know he's real. I spoke to him this morning. We were in touch with him this morning. He's been with us this morning. He's real. And that reality has to grip your heart. And there has to be the conviction the Spirit of God brings in that you are a poor sinner. And you'll never be righteous and you'll never be fit for the presence of God until you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The one that knew no sin. He was made sin for you and me. Just think about it. Has He taken your sin and its penalty? Was your sin and its penalty there upon the cross when He died? If so, you died with Him. You died with Him if you've accepted the value of that. If you've accepted Him, and you'll never experience the judgment and the wrath of God upon your soul. You'll spend eternity with Him, King of kings, Lord of lords, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Your love, mercy, and grace. This book we have before us is the Word of the Living God. And we're so thankful that we believe that this Word can bring enlightenment to our minds and souls. The God of this world does all He can to blind the minds of those that will not believe the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, lest light should shine in and the righteousness of God be put to their account. Oh Lord, we would cry out this morning on behalf of those that may be halting between two opinions. I might and I might not. Oh Lord, help them by the power of the Spirit of God, who lovingly and kindly will bring them to that place of such conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment that they say, I do believe, I will believe, I do accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will be made righteous and fit for the presence of God. Grant, we pray Thee today, Lord, around the world, the gospel is being preached. Christ is being raised up as the Savior's Son. O Lord, save souls as we await His return at any moment. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen.